WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have clear skies, 33 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high of 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Masker Plumbing and Heating in downtown Atlantic. Give them a call at 243-2260 for all of your plumbing, heating, and cooling needs. In area news, authorities in Montgomery County say a Villisca man was arrested Wednesday afternoon on sexual abuse charges. 21-year-old Benjamin Wyatt Barnes faces three felony counts of sexual abuse in the third degree. Barnes was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on $10,000 bond. News time is 7:07. Fall is here, and Masker Plumbing and Heating wants to make sure your home's heating system is working efficiently. Call Dwayne Masker of Masker Plumbing and Heating at 243-2260. Dwayne and the guys will be happy to come to your home and professionally check your furnace and do any necessary repair work, including changing your furnace filters. They want to make sure your current heating system is working properly. Not only does Masker Plumbing and Heating do repairs, they are your local York Heating and Cooling Systems dealer in Atlantic. York offers a high-efficiency heat pump, and with the purchase of a high-efficiency heat pump, Atlantic Municipal Utility customers will receive a discounted rate from October to April. So heat your home more efficiently this year by stopping by Masker Plumbing and Heating at 209 Walnut in downtown Atlantic, or give them a call at 243-2260. The Audubon County Sheriff's Department reported yesterday that one person was arrested Tuesday on drug charges. 33-year-old Nicholas Zachariah Coulter of Fort Dodge was taken into custody at around 9 p.m. Tuesday following a traffic stop on Highway 71 near Hamlin. Coulter faces charges that include possession of methamphetamine, third offense, possession of marijuana, third offense, possession of drug paraphernalia, and driving while barred. He was being held in the Audubon County Jail on $5,000 bond. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening heard from one city resident who's not happy with the way people in his part of the community are being treated by road construction crews working in the area. Steve Green told the council the crews from Western Engineering working on resurfacing Redwood Drive were very rude Tuesday evening as he and some of his neighbors were turning onto Redwood Drive after coming home from work.
While we were driving through, several of them yelled at us. Several of them made gestures. They weren't obscene, but they were making gestures at us like we weren't supposed to be there. With 22nd Street being tore up at the same time, what are we supposed to do?
He said one resident had to drive through a field off of Ash Street to get to their home because of the construction.
I think the city council needs to know that these people are extremely rude, and they don't need to be when we don't have any other way of getting to our homes. When you have two roads tore up, there's nothing else we can do.
Mayor Dave Jones asked if the residents had access via one lane of the street, and Green said they do, but the road crews weren't happy with them being there.
They didn't think we should even be on that street. We had no choice.
City Administrator Doug Harris said a lot of people are frustrated with the pace of road construction and repairs in the city, but progress is being made.
You know, we've all been sort of frustrated with the pace of getting these roads done. There has been quite a bit done in the last week with the hot mix asphalt projects. Poplar Street, 13th Street, Redwood, and Walnut have all gotten paved this week. They've started work on 2nd Street. They haven't completed that. In fact, even part of 22nd Street yesterday from the highway to Redwood got the concrete laid down on that. So that's at least showing some progress. I would imagine it's going to take three pours, and I think the last I heard is they were planning to be, Friday to do another pour.
Harris said he would follow up on Green's complaint and talk with Great Western Engineering officials. In other business, the council Wednesday tabled action on a resolution to approve the method of disposition of certain city-owned property located northwest of the intersection of Olive and Commerce Streets until the land is surveyed, fact-finding is complete, and the property lines clearly marked on city maps. The move was designed to eliminate confusion over who has the rights to lease and or buy the land and an adjacent property owner's concerns about the legal description of the land. The council also adopted by a 5-1 vote on the second reading an ordinance establishing a minimum maintenance code, which requires residents to keep structures on their properties in reasonably good repair. Councilman Kern Miller was the lone nay vote, saying afterward that he questioned how the rule would be enforced. And the council unanimously passed a resolution adopting a city records retention schedule, which will spell out how long certain documents should be kept. The City Council in Walnut is set to meet this evening, and among the matters on their agenda is discussion of the creation of a possible three-way stop on Antique City Drive in front of the Walnut Community School, the resignation of Walnut Zoning Administrator Jim Tooley, the possible acquisition of 308 Atlantic Street in Walnut, and discussion with regard to solid waste disposal and garbage collection during the week of Thanksgiving. The Walnut City Council meeting begins at 5 p.m. And investigators say an explosion that destroyed a vacant house in Council Bluffs earlier this week was caused by a ruptured propane line that let gas leak into the basement. Tuesday afternoon's explosion in a neighborhood just south of Interstate 80 blew the house 60 feet into the air and spread debris blocks away. No one was injured, and Council Bluffs Fire Chief Alan Byer said the extent of the damage has made the investigation difficult.
Somehow, propane was leaked into the basement of the house, filled the house, and then, you know, there's an ignition source. But with the amount of damage and the way the debris was spread out, we're probably never going to know exactly what happened.
Although the house was vacant, there was still propane in a tank and electric service hooked up to the home. The loud blast led to numerous 911 calls, and officials locked down a nearby school for about 20 minutes as a precaution because the source of the explosion was not immediately known. News time is 7:12. Fall is here, and Masker Plumbing and Heating wants to make sure your home's heating system is working efficiently. Call Dwayne Masker of Masker Plumbing and Heating at 243-2260. Dwayne and the guys will be happy to come to your home and professionally check your furnace and do any necessary repair work, including changing your furnace filters. They want to make sure your current heating system is working properly. Not only does Masker Plumbing and Heating do repairs, they are your local York Heating and Cooling Systems dealer in Atlantic. York offers a high-efficiency heat pump, and with the purchase of a high-efficiency heat pump, Atlantic Municipal Utility customers will receive a discounted rate from October to April. So heat your home more efficiently this year by stopping by Masker Plumbing and Heating at 209 Walnut in downtown Atlantic, or give them a call at 243-2260. In our funeral announcements, Glenn H. Stonebreaker, age 74, of Exira and formerly of Adair, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Glenn Stonebreaker will be this morning at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Tawny Joe Lockery Stetzel, age 44, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Funeral services for Tawny Joe Stetzel will be today at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Jim Muherder, age 64, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Funeral services for Jim Muherder will be held today at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Diana Glenn, age 54, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Diana Glenn will be held tomorrow at 3 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora, followed by cremation. Earl Kirchhoff, age 82, of Templeton, died Tuesday at the Manning Regional Health Care Center. Massive Christian burial services for Earl Kirchhoff will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Templeton. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. 80-year-old Carolyn Ullman of Adair died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Carolyn Ullman will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Dale Fazell, age 84, of Bridgewater, died Friday. Celebration of life services for Dale Fazell will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Ruby Ann Crawley, age 76, of Audubon, died Saturday. Funeral services for Ruby Crawley will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Sandra Wilkinson, age 71, of Panora, died Sunday. Funeral services for Sandra Wilkinson will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Kenneth Beener Inken, age 79, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Services for Kenneth Inken are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Dorothy Lemke Whitehall Liddell, age 94, of Harlan, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Dorothy Liddell are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news was brought to you by Masker Plumbing and Heating in downtown Atlantic. Give them a call at 243-2260 for all of your plumbing, heating, and cooling needs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting for KJAN News.